drink it in, man. Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Cornbread! 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 Drink it in, man. Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! Drink it in, drink it in, drink it in,
Detroit Kool-Aid, Detroit Kool-Aid drinkers. We are back right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid cast. You guys know what it is. I'm your host, Derek Oakery, and back from Canada. We don't know if the rumor innuendo is true that he got stopped at the border for saying things like, I don't know, maybe he'll do a couple on the intro. You guys know what his gimmicks are. He's at Chops in the D on Twitter. Choppy Chop, Chops, you're back. We got to talk Lions, free agency, combine, news and notes. So much to get into, buddy. How you doing?
Oakley, it's great to be back in the good old United States of America. You know, rumor innuendo, detained at the border for several woo-wees and maybe a few woo! Hashtag Choppy Leggies. But hashtag no, Choppy made it back Leggies. Into the States. And happy to be here and happy to be back on the show. Lots to talk about, and we don't have time to mess around, as you know.
We do not. We definitely have to fill up everybody's glass real quick.
Drink it in,
Side of cornbread.
Cornbread!
Make it a double.
Cornbread!
Chops, like you said, we can't mess around, man. Gosh, there's been so much going on. Before we get to combine, and we're going to hit some people up with some free agent discussion, I don't know that we have all of our targets nailed down at this point. Maybe you've been studying up, but let's get into these news and notes, man. The first one before we got recording was Emmanuel Mosley re-signed by the Detroit Lions. It's like, what'd you think about this?
It'll depend on the term, Oakley, really. I mean, I heard it was a one-year deal. I haven't seen the final number yet, but I don't have a problem if they want to take another, you know, cheap, prove-it deal. According to, you know, my sources, again, I still have not seen the final number yet, but he's on the road to being healthy. You know, you always have some hesitation with a guy coming off of two torn ACLs, but look, if it's a cheap, prove-it deal, and he doesn't prove it, then what do we lose? And if he proves it and we got him cheap, then great. So, I don't know. It's a shrewd move by Brad Holmes, in my opinion, as long as the number makes sense and it's not too crazy.
I don't know, man. We're the show that hypes up Brad. What's that nickname again?
Always Open for Business.
And Dan freaking Campbell. But I mean, you can be always open for business all you want, but like you said, two major injuries, played two snaps, paid him a huge chunk. I hear all this, oh, it's free, you know, whatever happens, happens. Like, I don't know. I had him on my short list to start, and then I was just like, well, why do we want an injured guy when there's plenty of healthy guys out there? He didn't really prove anything, but okay, he knows the system. He's a great guy. It's just like, I've heard this song and dance so many times, so I get the roll the dice, we like this guy, our doctors say he's fine, but I just really wasn't on board with this signing. I'm sure it's going to come in as like low money on paper, but is he going to be ready for off season? Is he going to be in training camp? Are we going to see him in week 4 or 5 again and then hope that everything goes well on the Ford Field turf? Rod Wood, you better have that all fixed up, ready to go, so we don't have any more injury debacles. But I don't know, this one just like seemed like we're bringing him back because we signed him for a reason and he's gonna be good and we'll show you. And as I said on Twitter, you guys can find me at Derek Oakery. I usually use it for Chops as quarterback, but TBD if you ask me, but we'll see. I hope he plays well. There you go.
Well, I think this kind of corresponds with the move that was cryptically announced, but not really announced, more announced on the Twitter innuendo of your boy Jerry Jacobs not returning to the team. So we need some depth at corner. This is a guy with a lot of upside. He was tearing it up before the injuries in San Francisco. So to me, it's a low risk, potentially high reward on a depth guy. We're still going to go out and make a splash in free agency. We're still going to draft a corner, and it's not going to change their plan, but he's a depth guy to kind of battle with the likes of Stephen Gilmore and some of these other guys that are lower on the depth chart. So I'm okay.
Choppy, here's one that's going to surprise you, yet not surprise you, because it's an Oakery gimmick and an Oakery favorite. I'd probably rather have J-U-U-U-R-R-Y-Y-Y, Jerry Jacobs, because, I don't know, he can walk, he has limbs that work, and he'll be even cheaper, and he's a dog, and I know he couldn't cover a coffee table, but if you want a guy that knows the system, hard worker, and he's healthy, give me Jerry over the potential that E-Man might have. And I love that potential word and upside and maybe and what if, but could have just probably got something a little bit more proven. But we'll see what he does. Hope it works out. I'd like to see the numbers on it before I get too deep into it. But while you were gone, Choppy, I mean, we got Jalen Reeves-Maybin re-signed. I mean, that's an earth shaker. You know, always open for business, locked up his kicker. Michael Badgley. I mean, lots of little moves going on here by the Detroit Lions, but we've seen this before where they just lock up guys they have, lock up depth, add at all positions. You know why? So then you can dip your toe into free agency. Maybe Brad Holmes has been listening to the Detroit Kool-Aid cast, Choppy, because there's a certain defensive tackle that I talked about multiple weeks ago that is free as of Monday. And his name is Christian Wilkins. I know the price tag is going to be ultra high, and I know we'll get into other free agents, but I want your take on this player because you know I loved him for years. He's a little bit older, but we can't like say older when you're just like 28, 29, 30, and we're talking about a 2-3-4 year at max type of deal. This guy just feels like such a Brad Holmes, Dan freaking Campbell, locker room leader, says things right, does things right, hard worker, productive. Am I crazy here? Is this like have no chance of happening, or am I validated to be in love with this player and this fit here for the Detroit Lions if they can make it happen?
I mean, you're absolutely allowed to be in love with a guy who can play both against the run and the pass, who had 9 sacks last year, 35 pressures, 63 tackles. Yeah, you're allowed to be in love with a guy like that. And I would have no qualms about having this dude come into Detroit. I know he's been on your radar. You've loved this kid since he came out of the draft, however many years ago now, six years ago now. But I don't have any issues if Christian Wilkins wants to come to the Detroit Lions. I think he's a great guy to pair up with Aleem McNeil. He can be moved around the line. He's explosive, good lateral movement. So he can come to the inside. He can move to the outside. He's all over the place. So I like this guy. The price tag is what scares me, right? That's the big question mark. Is this guy going to go out and get $26-28 million a year? If we're going to pony up the money on one guy, a big splash, I would definitely be okay with it being Christian Wilkins.
And I knew you'd have all the stats, all the numbers, but Chops, the more I've been going through like draft guys and free agent people, my number one question is, what kind of guy is he? And it's not even we got to get choir boys, or we got to get nice guys, or we got to get even guys sometimes that are the ultra hard work tape type players. I've been more focused on like guys that love football but also have personality, also are kind of like alphas and leaders and guys that aren't going to get down when one bad thing happens. Like those are the kind of guys I feel like this regime is adding, and that's the main reason I actually have Wilkins circled, and there's other guys like that. So it's more even like personal more so than production or stat base for me, as you've seen me lean more that way the last few years as I get more into this process. But as I'm looking at shops to close out kind of news and notes, like no Matabuke, your corner from Chicago, Burns, Mike Evans, et cetera, all those guys either got re-signed or franchised or broken off by their teams, whatever it is. So we can just scratch all those names off, and now we're going in with that extra 30 mil, a good football team, a lot of our needs covered, and now we just got to figure out what B3 and Dan the Man are thinking to get this football team up over the hump, man.
Yeah, the one name that you didn't mention there, and as you're right, you know, as we record here today, the tagging window is now closed. 9 players were franchise tagged. The one that still stands out to me, and again, I don't know why this name just keeps hanging around, even though he's been tagged, is Snead coming out of Kansas City. It sounds like they want him. They don't want him to walk. I feel like they could have let him walk and get some compensatory picks there. But now it sounds like he's going to get tagged and potentially moved. And so I've continued to hear this guy linked to the Red Wings, or to the Red Wings, to the Lions, even after he we'll get into my Red Wings later, by the way. I got Red Wings on the brain right now. But even though he's been tagged, he continues to be linked to the Detroit Lions, and I'm for it. I love this guy. I think he's a baller. I think he would be an amazing one to put across the field with Sutton on the other side, and we would have our secondary locked up and ready to go. But keep an eye on some of these guys that did get tagged, because, you know, as we know, just because you've been tagged doesn't mean you're now staying with that team for the season. So we'll see what happens.
Well, here's what I want to do. I want to give my quick Snead thoughts, and I'll kick it back to you for hashtag choppy hockey, because the people do want to hear what the Wings are going to do. I heard the old deadlines this week, I believe. Everybody's been all hyped about our hockey team, and they've lost a few games, and the captain's hurt now, so we're in panic town again. But, like, I just don't get all this Snead love, you know? They franchise. Let me ask you this, Chop, because I should know, but I don't really. Is there still that thing where once you franchise them, like, multiple first rounders, or did they ditch that? Where now it's just like, okay, we franchise them, and yes, you'd have to trade, but they don't have those ridiculous requirements like back in the days. Like, once you franchise the guys, it was 2 ones was the starting point. That's still in place, isn't it?
Yeah, no, my understanding is that's no longer there. I think there are still some requirements, but it's not. I mean, before it was like 2 ones, a two, yeah. You know, you know, your GM's girlfriend, and, you know, a couple player wives too. So, you know, it was ridiculous. Yeah. I think those have been backed off a little bit now. There may still be a required one, but again, I think he would go for a one anyway.
Some of those other requirements still may hold in, like, Salt Lake City and places. But I think that, like, when I heard he's franchised, that obviously means that they want to get great compensation for him, which kind of took him off my list. Everyone's acting like he's the end-all, be-all at corner. This is a great draft for corners. There's other young cats that we could get that have more upside, more maybe, less dollars that I would rather have. I know people want to just get a lockdown CB1 and call it a day, but that's a position where I'm much more apt to sort of roll the dice, pick and choose, go for 2 or 3 bodies that might be able to play rather than just one guy, hope he stays healthy all year and hope he can deal with Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase and company, you know, one-on-one like these people think. So I'm not in the Snead camp. Now, of course, if Brad Holmes identifies him and they're like, that's our guy, and they go spend a big on him, you're not going to hear me boo-hoo, and I'm going to be drinking it in, of course. But it's not something I'm fixated on or that I feel like it's got to get done. And mostly because of Price, he's been in the league a little bit. He's been pretty good the last couple years, but before that, he wasn't highly drafted. He wasn't a guy that you had to have. So that's kind of where I'm at with Snead as far as a acquisition potentially for the Lions. Get into the hockey, Chops. I'll give you, you know, 2 minutes or more to tell us what's going down. Are we making any big trades? And make some big proclamations, as you like to do. There's some type of hashtag you like to do on this show for that, about those Red Wings. Hashtag choppy hockey. Go.
Oh, love it. So this is my favorite time of the NHL year. It's the trade deadline is Friday. You know, we got the Wings. We're sitting pretty comfortably in the 7th spot for the wild card. As you mentioned, the captain is hurt for the next 2 weeks, so that's a little bit of a downer. You know, we were on a 7-game heater, and then we lost the last two. But I still think that Yzerman is going to make he's going to make some shrewd moves here. He's got to ship out a defenseman, which people are going, wait, why would we ship out a defenseman when we're trying to make a playoff run? Well, right now, if you know anything about the Red Wings, you know you got like one of the best defensemen in the AHL right now, chomping at the bit to get up, and you also have a guy that's making $4 million a year that's a healthy scratch every night. So I would love to see Yzerman ship out a couple of these lower end defensemen and allow the kid from Grand Rapids to move up or to get a replacement. Lots of people still clamoring about a top six forward, especially now that Larkin got hurt. I don't really see a need for it. We're like the deepest team in the NHL right now with 12 players with 10 goals or more. I like our scoring depth. I'd like to see a little more physicality because we all know that playoff hockey is a little bit different. But look, I think the Wings are going to make a move here. I think they're going to make a move that people – it's going to shake some heads here. So the big name out there right now is Noah Heffernan. I'd love this kid. I would love to get him in a Red Wings uniform. The price is going to be high. I don't know if Yzerman's ready to get to – adjust the Iser plan quite yet because, you know, I don't think we're quite ready to make a cup run, but we're ready to make the playoffs. So expect Stevie Y to ship a couple guys out. I expect a few moves in. If you want to know some of the guys that I'm targeting, you can hit me up at Chops in the D on the Twitterverse. I posted a few of those out the other day, but Steve Yzerman will not sit idle at the trade deadline this week. There will be moves made and we will be a better team afterwards. Hashtag what Choppy said.
Woo-wee! Chaps, the people want to know, playoffs, yes or no?
Yes.
Stanley Cup aspirations this year, next year, and beyond?
This year is going to be tough, man. Look, I agree in part with Patrick Kane. We're going to go toe-to-toe with every team in a 7-game series. There's no one that's just going to blow us out of the water. We got some physical teams out there, Florida, Boston, New York, but I think we can go toe-to-toe with them. Aspirations to win the Stanley Cup this year, man, that's pretty high considering the team hasn't been in the playoffs for 7 years. So Stanley Cup this year, no. Next year, definitely in the cards, but playoffs we are in.
NHL 7-game series in the playoffs, especially when it gets to OT, it does not get better. That is the best playoff situations and games in sports, and Red Wings fans are dying. Chops, I even went on the old eBay machine and bought me some merch. I got a zip up coming. I got a hat I'm rocking these days with that Red Wing winged wheel. So everybody's hype about that team.
Dude, Chops, let's do this, man.
It's funny how it's been gone so long, but they pop off a few dubs and you see car flags, you see jerseys, you see everyone all type talking hockey again. And you know my frustration has been like patiently waiting, as the 50 Cent song goes. It's like I'm just waiting for them to get rolling, and now that they do, I just feel my hockey vibes from back in the day just absolutely flowing. So good stuff there. I know it's a Lions pod, but you hadn't said much about them, and it is getting exciting for a hockey team. Chops, I want to do this, man. I think I want to take a break, but before that, I want to do a couple pub ups, couple promotion sponsors updates, and then when we come back, I want to do Combine, give you some thoughts, some takes, some reaction, and then we got to dip our toe into free agency. Before we record next week, it will be rolling, and man, there's just so many names, so many people to talk about. So before we take our commercial break, I just want to let everybody know to go check out Notorious DET and all his merch and his shop and everything he's doing over there. Especially the new Unleash Hutch. Oh man, as we always say, me and Chops, we our time is so dang limited, but we are slowly but surely trying to do some things on the side when we get time. So I was able to work with Notorious on a very quick mock-up for an Unleash Hutch shirt. There's been talks about getting the Kool-Aid tee back up there. I told him that at Chops in the D wants a golf woo-wee hashtag choppy likey mashup shirt. So we'll see what comes of that creative, but definitely go check him out, as well as we're getting things rolling with you know, coming off the subscriptions here on the pod, doing the listener support here in the next month, the drafts on the way. All you guys have been supportive as always on the old Twitter machine. So Chops, you got any shouts? You got any other promos? Again, we could talk about our sponsors all day, All 22, RSO, just Spotify, all the great things that keep the show rolling.
You can't forget about Lions on Tap, still putting out that good content even in the off season, man. There's so many good followers, so many people. It's the off season. Look, the LCA crowd is still chanting Jared Goff. People are still on the high of the Lions. So it's the off season, baby. But you know what, Brad? Always open for business. Holmes never takes a break, and neither do all these amazing people on the Twitterverse. You know, including us, right? We are all over it, putting out content, tweeting out about the combine. You know, like you said, of course we got to go with Notorious. I cannot wait to get that shirt. I'm just chomping at the bit there to get that. So good stuff still coming out there from all the loyal, diehard Detroit Kool-Aid listeners.
No doubt, everybody. Chop said off season, but last time I checked, free agency starts on Monday. Once that gets slowed down, the draft is here in Detroit. Our team is already like a top five team in the National Football League. We're about to load up on free agents, draft picks, and then we'll be training camp before you know it. So we always have fun jumping on here and talking all about it. So everybody, let's get our other great sponsors in here. It helps when you check them out, listen to them, visit their sites, pub them up, hit us up. All that really helps the show. And give us a 5-star review if you think we've earned it on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen. And everybody will be right back talking NFL Combine, players, rookies, free agents, right here on the Kool-Aid Cast. Everybody, we'll be right back.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
All right, everybody, this goes out to my fantasy football fans out there. Now, you probably heard about Reality Sports Online, the most powerful fantasy sports platform where owners can build and manage their fantasy team like a real NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? I mean, we're talking free agency, multi-year contracts, rookie drafts, multi-team trades. You can put franchise tags on guys. It's as close as you're going to get to being an NFL GM. But do you think it sounds complicated? It's not. I'm here to tell you it's the best thing about Reality Sports Online is it's just more fun than your normal fantasy league, but it doesn't take barely any more time. After all this, are you still not sure? I mean, come on now. You can test your general manager skills by going over to Reality Sports Online, call it RSO. Please go check out realitysportsonline.com right now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kool-Aid drinkers are back. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for supporting the show. Thank you for making this thing roll. Thank you for drinking that Kool-Aid. Thank you for double dipping on that cornbread. And as Chop said, go check out Lions on Tap. all the other great sponsors of this show. Shout out to all the listeners. We always try to give you guys some pub. You can hit us up on the Kool-Aid hotline, 989-272-Kevin Smith, Herman Moore, 989-272-3484. Text in, call in, leave a voicemail, whatever you want to do. Always appreciate all that. Makes us laugh. And we just enjoy jumping out here talking Lions, trying to entertain a bit and giving our thoughts on this football team as they continue to build it. So, Chopsy, here's where I'm at, man. Like, I get so hype. You've been to the DTO scouting office. You know I put in that work, but you also know life gets crazy. So, like, I get all hype for the combine. Oh, man, the combine, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You know, I'm going to watch these players, going to take my notes. I got my notebook out. And I swear, I had it on a good amount of time, but it was on in the background. I was doing 80 million things. I was picking up little nuggets from Daniel Jeremiah and company, but it kind of flew by. I mean, again, these guys are running in T-shirts and shorts and whatnot. So I got a few takeaways. Again, I tell myself, oh, I'm going to go back and rewatch and do this, but life just flies by, man. So I'm like really hyped about this draft. I do have lots of things in the cooker here that I'm breaking down and getting ready for, but it's still, I want to say it's early in the process, but it's not really because we're about 50 days away from the draft starting in Detroit, Michigan. So go ahead and give me your overall thoughts of what you watched, what you took away from the combine, and then we'll get into like some players that me and you both have that we want to discuss here.
The thing about the combine for me, Okri, is, you know, I would love to hear you and Logan go toe-to-toe about what's, you know, what's more important about the combine. Is it the interviews? Is it the measurements, the intangibles? Is it dudes in shorts running 40s? You know, what is it exactly? Is it J.J. McCarthy throwing BBs in the hotel lobby? Like, you know, for me, I think this is just a great opportunity for these GMs to get access to the guys, like the people, right? To not, you know, we know their stats. Okay. We saw their film. We've watched, you know, watched them on social media. We've seen the things that they've done, but like to actually get to talk to these players and, you know, see how they break stuff down, see how they interview. You know, you can, I don't know the numbers. I never know. You can have like unofficial interviews, then official interviews, then all these, other, you know, okay. Well, you know, I can never keep track of how many you get, or if it was that an official interview or was that an unofficial interview? But you know, they get to talk to these players. And for me, that's the biggest part about this. It's, now lots of controversy this year. You've got players who decided they just weren't even going to show up. Like they skipped out on media days. They decided not to throw, decided not to run for whatever the case may be. And, you know, did it hurt their draft stock? So lots of, you know, I guess, quote unquote controversy around the combine this year with like guys like Caleb Williams just refusing to do anything with it and kind of blowing it off. I think the NFL is a little upset about that. But, you know, for me, just I just want to, as much as I can hear these guys talk, or if I'm a GM, I should say, as much as I can hear these guys talk, break down plays, break down film, tell me what they're about, describe their playing style, who they model themselves after, that kind of stuff. That's what I'm really focused on. I don't care that, you know, Chop Robinson did the three cone drill in, you know, 6.8 seconds as he did a two twinkle toe spinoramas. I don't care. That stuff doesn't really interest me. And I think you're kind of in the same boat.
Well, let me summarize the Logan Lamarandier Okri discussion for you. Here's Okri. It's all about the interviews. Do they love football? What kind of guys are they? What do they look like? Are they built? Are they football mentality type players? Here's the Logan. Here's Logan Amarandir talking. Let me pull up the Logan big board, and he ran an 8.42 and ran a 6.3 shuttle and a 4.82 40. You know, like he's all into the numbers, and I'm
Raz.
More into
Don't
the
Right.
And I'm into the intangibles. So he likes to quantify and measure like you do most of the time. And I like to just sort of go by my feel and what I see. And what I took away, man, is sometimes when I see these guys, it's actually surprising because we do have a lot of fun. And I do feel we're pretty accurate when it comes to draft takes and predictions and picks and all that. But I mean, I'm not watching every college game on a Saturday or breaking down 80 million things. I've got my Wolverines I watch. I got other things I do for PFF, and I like the game of college football. And as I told you, and you've even joked about it, but me doing college fantasy football has really helped me see and get a better feel for a lot of these players than I did before, because I at least know guys that are on my team and guys that I compete against in that league of what they brought to the table and kind of who they were as players, more so than you see a lot of these names and like you don't even really have a feel for what they look like. Who are they? Like, what are they really made of? You just saw them either on a ranking sheet or heard the name, but the combine's really the first time you see a lot of them with their helmet off. And, you know, has this guy been in the weight room? Is he a beast? Is he not? Does he look like he doesn't care about the drills? Is he out there working hard? I mean, that's the kind of the first look at it, get a lot of these guys. So, you know, you mentioned the running, the numbers, this and that. I mean, a couple things that jumped out to me, and I joked about it, and we've joked about it, and it's going to be a continued joke on the show, but, I mean, if we kind of have our picks, it would probably be Kool-Aid and Chop Robinson, wouldn't you say? I mean, that'd kind of be the dream scenario, round one, round two. I mean, that would really make the show, don't you think?
Oh, Okri, we've been building this up and building this up, and I think I'm finally ready to unleash it. Are you ready for it, Okri?
Oh, boy.
Listen, yeah. I love the Lions. I love the Kool-Aid. But I don't love Kool-Aid. The player. Okay? I know people. I love the Kool-Aid, but I don't love Kool-Aid. And you know what I really don't love? I really don't love the player of Kool-Aid who just had a Jones injury and now, you know, this and now he's holding out until his pro day to show the people what he's got, but dude, I am Kool-Aid is not on my board. It's in my cup. It's not on my board.
You know what's funny about that? Because I don't like Chops. I don't like Chop Robinson. This guy's all athlete. Oh, wow, the numbers. Look at him. He's such an athlete. Like, this guy did not look good on film to me. I wasn't wowed by his combine. I mean, his overall as a player is kind of like a lot of your takes on the show. I kind of, you know, dozed off. I'm not really into it. You know what I mean? It doesn't make me go woo-wee. But so you don't like Kool-Aid. I mean, I'm not a Chop fan. I mean, we're debunking the gimmick right now. I mean, most people think these guys got to be on board with Kool-Aid McKinstry and Chops Robinson. I mean, but that's not the case at all. Not even close. But we do love the Lions.
I love the Lions. Say it with me. I love the Lions.
Shout out Sean Belegian. So that's off the table now. Like, yeah, you know, Kool-Aid might come back, be healthy. Maybe he's a pick in the second round. You know, Chop Robinson, you're going to hear his name by a lot of the other rumor innuendo mongers, the Lions media folk, like the DB and others. But he's not really a target for me at this point. That could change, could not. Let's talk about a guy that is, Chops. Fisk, the big old defensive tackle from Florida State, number 55. This guy wasn't really on my radar. I watched him work. He had great numbers. He looked the part. He was putting in work. They had a lot of great things to say about him. And all I kept thinking, Chop Chop, was Mason Graham of the Michigan Wolverines. Big, thick, nasty defensive tackle, go get him type player. That's what he reminded me of. Yes, I'm going to comp him to a Wolverine, but the number reminded me, the body type, the play. Fisk from Florida State is on my radar now.
He was definitely on my board for players who impressed as it relates to the Lions. You know, again, he ran a better short shuttle than Aaron Donald. So, you know, again, you know, this is the fun part, right? Where we say so-and-so did this better than this guy, and this guy's really good, so he should be really good. So-and-so jumped, you know, this much further than, you know, this guy, and he's really good in the NFL, so he should be really good. But anyway, that's, you never know until they produce on the field. But yes, I 100% agree. Brandon Fisk, coming from, I mean, he is a former Bronco, so that is a negative on my part, but he did transfer over to Florida State and he had a hell of a year, and he did wow me a little bit in the combine. So he's definitely one of the ones that shot up my board as a potential Lion, you know, wherever he may fall. But I don't think he's going to fall very far, if he falls at all, if he's even there at 29. But he definitely impressed.
So here's the thing. There's so many little nuggets I could throw out. Like the kid from Yale, the offensive lineman, tackle, guard, whatever you want to call him, is like Cousins with Penei Sewell. We've got all those old linemen, wideouts that seem to impress. I've been doing a lot of mocks. I haven't released the Okri mock one yet on the old Twitter machine, but that is coming. And so many old linemen are just gonna, like, I'd say like 7-8 old linemen in this first round. But Chops, I want to ask you about the wide receivers, because I've been hearing a lot of scuttlebutt, a little this, a little that, a little watch out for the Lions, going for Keon Coleman. I have to admit, I was highly impressed by Brian Thomas when it comes to body build, how he caught the football. He looks like an absolute specimen, which we know Brad Holmes likes. So let me just ask you, on a broader sense, wide receiver, did you see guys at the combine when you've been doing your draft prep that are going to be maybe too good to pass up at 29? Or are you, we got J-Mo, we got ARSB, or what else does he go by on the show, Chops? You kind of started it.
I'm on Ra.
Yeah, either one. Like, are we good there at wide receiver? Or are you like, I'm going to take those two plus our depth players and take a kid like Brian Thomas, take a Keon Coleman and try to mold them into like a T. Higgins type player? I got to hear what you can say about this. I'm actually interested.
I think you probably already know what I'm going to say about this. I am not on board with drafting a wide receiver high. It's just not on my radar at all, which means it's probably on Brad Holmes's radar, because that's how he liked to do. But right. You know, these big four right now, we're talking, of course, Harrison Jr., you know, the kid from Washington, I can never say his name right, Brian Thomas, and then the other LSU wideout with Malik. Like, those guys are going to go high, and I don't see anybody being there at 29. And frankly, we just have other needs. I don't know. I like our offense a lot, and I don't like our defense a lot. So I want to use our assets and I want to use our draft picks on defensive players. I cannot see a scenario where we take a wide receiver at 29. I just can't. But you know what? Like I said, there's someone there and Brad Holmes like is going to be banging on the draft table and screaming and yelling like he was in the elevator after the playoff win, be over a guy that he grabbed, then, you know, more power to him. I trust him, but I have not been doing research on any of those wide receivers that are falling into the first and second round. So probably shame on me. Like we ignored the running backs last year. But I just have not been focusing much on the wide receivers. Frankly, my opinion is I'd rather have a guy that impresses and is a little more off the radar in the third and fourth round, much like we did with Amon-Ra. But I'm not really in on any of these wide receivers in those top two rounds.
Interesting. Conventional wisdom would say I agree with you and good take, but like... The more I saw of these players, the more I know about Brad Holmes, the more I know that you can make a strength when it comes to offense, or if they double dip on the old line, that'd be more apt to happen probably than a random defender that they don't love or that they have questions about. So, Chops, before I kick it to you, let's do like one or two more combine takes, and then we need to spend a good amount before we end the show on free agency, because like I say, that's literally going to be right in the middle of all the craziness when we record next week. But I want to tell you and the people that I'm working on an Okri BPA Lions guys list. These are the guys that I'm looking at saying they're clean, they're elite. Sorry, I should have done it that way. They're guys that I feel like Brad Holmes would have these big time grades on, or say those are the game changers. And that's a very intriguing list that I will drop here in the next little bit as well. But, you know, we could go down like Terrion Arnold, the corner from Toledo as well, showed out. You know, I was focused mostly on like DTs, DEs, old linemen, corners. And like I say, those wide receivers caught my eye. So anybody else you want to throw out, either name, position, or things before we get to this free agent talk?
Yeah, you touched on a couple of them, but, you know, Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is going to be a dog, man. I know there's no way he's there at 29, but I love that guy. He really shot up my board. I mean, I think I had him high on the board before, I know I had him personally. I think I had him over Wiggins before. Wiggins did not impress me, especially when I think he said in one of his interviews that like he doesn't really care about the run game. It made some offhanded comment that I'm like, he's off the list. Drop him right out the door. Not a Brad Holmes guy. Not a Dan Campbell guy. Like, sorry, dude, you just messed up if you wanted to be lying because it ain't happening now. Yeah. So he was taken off my board completely. I did focus in a lot on the O lineman. Again, a name that keeps popping up onto my board. Somewhere in that third round, maybe Cooper Beebe, dude. The dude is, I like him, 6'4", 335. Dude can move. I think he's going to be a big body in the middle. I like that guy, and I think he's got some versatility to play some center as well. So I know he's played left tackle, left guard, shifted around to right guard and right tackle. So he's kind of all over the place, and he's another one that with that versatility that I like. He keeps popping out there. And, I got to say something real quick before we move on to free agency, but did J.J. McCarthy is a top three quarterback in this draft, people. Mark it right now. Hashtag what Choppy said. Like, this dude skyrocketed on my board, and I know he's not, we're not looking at quarterbacks at all, but at the end of the day, J.J. McCarthy is going to end up being one of the best quarterbacks coming out of this draft. Hands down.
Interesting. Very interesting, because we had a brief talk, but I'm kind of on the other side. Love J.J. McCarthy. I'm a Michigan Wolverines. Don't know about him in the National Football League. Kind of a quiet, kind of a laid back leader. Is going to have to throw it around. Not a very big guy. So I think he will go high, but I don't know what kind of player he's going to be. Definitely not a flop or a guy that's going to be out of the league in a couple of years, but I don't know his ceiling is where people are saying, just because he can run fast and throw it hard and all that stuff, just based on who he is as a person, as I keep going back to that and whatnot. Great guy, but will he be able to be a leader of men and be that ultra alpha in the National Football League? TBD, if you ask me, but we'll see. I hope he plays well. Choppy, we got to get to free agency, where a lot of players are often saying this.
Where's my money?
And the National Football League saying this. Here comes the money. Here we go. Money talk. Here comes the money. Dollar, dollar. Dollar, dollar. We got to talk about that dollar, dollar, chop, chop. But really, we just got to go like rapid fire, because there's so many random names that I've kind of picked out. I'm not spending ultra amounts of time like I will be on narrowing down draft prospects, because I have no clue what the Lions want, how they're going to spend. My big takeaway is that I think Holmes is giving you guys the okey-doke, talking about, we're not going to win the offseason, and, I'm not going to go get any names, and don't worry about what we do. We got this. I think he's going to come out guns a-blazing, and the Lions are going to be the talk of the town early and often in free agency. But, Chops, how about we just kind of bounce names off each other here to end the show and kind of give quick takes, kind of what you think about people, give people a lot of names and guys to think about. How about that?
Two things I want to just jump in right before we do that. I love the idea, but two things. First of all, you have to listen very closely to what and how Brad Holmes says. Okay, like people are like, oh, he already told us he's not gonna make a splash. He already told us we're focusing on our own guys. Don't be surprised. Listen to the words that he says and how he says them. This man is a mastery of the look over here, don't look over here. Oh my gosh, you should have looked over here. So pay attention.
Yeah, I
understand. Listen.
I got it in my head, dude.
Thank you, Beetlejuice. I know you'll be paying attention, okay? Brad Holmes is going to make a splash, people, all right? He's going to make a splash. He's going to lock in his own because, again, that's his top priority. I'm actually a little surprised, and that was my second point, is I'm very surprised that as of this recording, we have not re-signed any of the Goff, Penne, or Amon-Ra yet. I'm very shocked by that. But once that business is handled, like, Brad is going to make a move. All right, so don't be worried about that, folks. He will make a move, and you're going to be, and I agree, Okri, 100%. It's going to be the talk of the town. It's going to be the talk of the NFL. And people are going to be like, oh, my goodness, watch out for the Lions. They just did that.
No doubt about it. And again, me and you could just, we're always surprised how quick this pod goes and how many stuff we want to talk about. Are you okay with Amon-Ra getting 26 to 28 million? Like, I love this player. I love what he brings. I know you got to take care of your own. That's a lot. That is a lot. I don't even care how you structure it. If the first few years are low, that's a lot of money for a wide receiver. So I love this guy, but I've kind of been shocked by seeing those two numbers put together for, and they say it's happening soon. So, I mean, again, without a long take, like, do you think, does that shock you as well? Or are you totally good with it? Cause he's Amon-Ra.
I mean, quick take, he's the fifth best wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, hands down, he
26
has been for the
million.
Last 3 years. I understand 28. 26 million, but Okri, you got to remember, the cap went up how much? $30 million, and it's probably going to go up again and again and again and again, and it's keep going up. You lock this dude in at 20, let's say you just lock him in at 26, 27, okay? In 4 years, when he's still making $27 million, guys are going to be making 30 and 35. So it's just the way the cap works. I don't, like you said, I don't think you just, it's just assumed that you're going to be the next highest paid guy, but that's just how the league works. Okay. Like
at quarterback,
you know, look at the
at quarterback, like a year ago, it was like 18 to 20. How did we get to 26, 28, 30 in a year and a half? I mean, I remember wanting Debo for 18 and I was like, oh, 18's a lot. Now it's like, now St. Busy is going to get 10 plus million more per on a 4 year.
Again, you better get used to it, bro, because he's going to sign, and it's going to be more than you want, and it's going to be more than you like. But I trust Brad to keep drafting studs and to keep managing the cap.
I know. I want the player, but, man, it's not my money. That's a lot of money. So
it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money, bro.
Where are you at with Stephon Gilmore, aging corner's brothers here? Would you like him as a cornerback?
I mean, for me, if you make that kind of move, that doesn't fix our problem. Like, I need a legit number one shutdown corner. I mean, I don't think he's that anymore. So I know some people love the name. They love the guy. I mean, yes, I know he's done it before, but I'm not. I mean, look, we'd be his fifth or sixth team in 5 years. So he's good, but he's 34. Like, I want, if I'm going corner, I'm going stud, who's going to shut it down, lock it down, be my number one, and don't even think about it again.
I just think he falls in that bucket of 1 to 2 years can help you get where you're trying to get, you know, if you can't get other players that are more costly and are younger. Have you heard about this kid, Huff? He's like an outside linebacker, edge type with the Jets. I've heard he's a good fit, hard worker, could be a nice player for the Lions. What would you think about that?
Yeah, for me, he's a little bit more of an under-the-radar guy, which, you know, again, that's the kind of deals that Brad Holmes has made in the past. I like the player. I like his kind of versatility. But I guess my question is he, like, the stepped-up version of James Houston? I don't know.
He's probably a better Charles. You know, what we hope Charles would be until he decided not to be able to play football after we paid him type of thing. Choppy, I got three DTs that are on my brain. I brought them up last week. DJ Reader. How about my boy who I always loved since the draft, but he hasn't really produced the National Football League? Neville Gallimore. Bowling Ball of Butcher Knives is what he was called. And my boy Marlon Davidson from the draft as well. Went to the ATL. Hasn't done much. You know, those are three guys the Lions could go for if they can't get my boy Christian Wilkins.
Yeah, I mean, look, again, I don't dislike any of those players. You know, you've got a good eye for talent when it comes to that spot. Hey, mark that on the pod. I just complimented your eye for talent on whatever the date is today. But, you know, again, I'd rather make a splash. Oh, I'm looking to make something, pay someone some bigger bucks. And someone who's just going to be an absolute disruptor. Like, I either want somebody who I can put on the other side of Hutch and just let them be unleashed together, or I want another dude, big nasty in the middle, that's going to lock it down with a Leem. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at. You know, gosh, Chris Jones, man, that guy he would be so great to have. I know he's so expensive. I know he's 30, but I don't know. He just he gets me tongue-tied watching him play, and he's just someone you have to plan for, and you got to be. Yes, I understand he's the number one free agent target on everybody's board. I get it, people. But like, that dude is just an animal freak. I would love to have him. Couple other guys that we've thrown out there. Again, I'm totally fine with Christian Wilkins. Another one out there, Daniel Hunter. Again, coming from the Vikings, we've watched him in action. He's going to be a little bit cheaper. But man, the guy has just been another animal. So I'd love to have him on the other side of Hutch. Oh, that line is going to get – Brad's going to do something on that line, man. He's going to.
I think you've been listening to 97.1 The Ticket a little too much with some of those names. But the guys I have a little more under the radar, a little cheaper, a little younger in some situations. But I'm curious to see what they do at DT, more penetrating players, maybe a plugger next to Aleem. You also got, our big fella from last year, which people are kind of talking up, but we haven't seen anything from. Chops, we should have just done the whole show on free agency because I got like 80 million other names I want to throw at you. But one that just came up before we got recording. I know we feel like we're set at safety and nickel and all that, but what about Quandre Diggs coming back to the Lions? 1 year, loves the city, loves the team, help get over the hump, maybe put him in there instead of CJ. That's my GJ. What do you think about that? I love Q when he was here first.
I know you loved him, and I loved him too, and I didn't like the way that his time ended here. But I mean, what? How? That was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So I don't know. I'm not. I wouldn't look if Brad meets with him and he thinks that he fits a need and he's a cheaper version of us.
He fits. Mentality, play, get his hands on the football, unlike Go-Go Gadget Arms, my boy Tracy. He fits.
I know, but okay. I mean, when you know, what has he done over the last 2-3 seasons? I mean, that he's getting cut.
He's always leading the league nearly in picks, and he'll come up and knock your face off. That's what he does. I mean, I already think we're good at safety. I like our young cats, whatever. I'm just saying, like, a one-for-one flip. Get this guy at a good number. Come in here. He wants to win something big for the team that, you know, started him out before he got ditched by Matt Pat and those other jabrons. So we don't need to spend much time on it. It sounds like you don't like him. I don't really want it, but it was intriguing just because it popped up today, and I know Q loves it here.
He wants to be here. I think he already brought up Detroit in his exit at press conference. So I think he wants to come back. So maybe you'll leverage it. Get him on the cheap.
Let me throw this name at you. Ezra Cleveland, interior offensive lineman. This guy is like a guard tackle. He's one of those guys where he came in and played well, and everyone's like, oh, this guy's going to be great. And he goes with Minnesota. He's on like 2 or 3 teams. I think I saw he's in Jacksonville now. I don't know if he's been hurt or what, but he's out there, and he had a lot of upside in the draft and whatnot. Like, could they go interior lineman, sign back Graham, let a Jonah walk as an option? That's intriguing. I wrote down a couple linebackers, but I feel like we're good there. I wrote down a couple safeties. I feel like we're good there, except if they want to do Q. I wrote down a couple tight ends. I kind of feel like we're good there. And I wrote down some wideouts because I feel like that's another place we can dip to really get us over the hump. As I mentioned with Brian Thomas, who's one of my early draft crushes here in the process. So who do you want to talk about? What position you want to get into? We might go a little bit longer on the show if you want to dive on some of these guys. But I think it's important to talk a little free agency before we get up out of here.
Yeah, for the interior line position, I think there's so many in this draft. We're going to draft at least one, maybe two, and probably re-sign one of our own. So whether it's Glasgow or Jonah, I think that's one of those positions where I feel like they may just keep their own and then draft. So I think I haven't really paid too much attention about the guards out there, at least any of the big name guys. There's a couple of low end guys that are, you know, like you know, you may kick the tires on. Wide receivers, man, I'm curious to hear who, if there's a wide receiver out there that you're just like, ooh, this guy would might be a nice fit. One of the ones that I laugh about because, you know, I've liked this guy for a long time and I know you don't like him, so you're just going to hate this, but is Hollywood Brown, who's made it with the Cardinals. I'm like, you know what? I'll take Hollywood Brown at like, you know, a 10 mil a year or 8 mil a year to throw in there and let him feast with J-Mo and Amon-Ra, whatever rookie we run out there after the draft. He's one that I just kind of laugh when I see his name out there. I'd take him.
I'm looking for my nope drop, but I can't find it. So I did a very bad version of the manual there, but no thank you there. Chops, I'm going to give you, which I rarely do, a little bit of credit. You mentioned a name, which I laughed off at first. The more I think about it, this seems like a Lions type ad at wide receiver. If he's available and if he doesn't want the world, he has a little bit of low-end hype. KJ Osborne. This guy really has come on. He's kind of in that sweet spot. He could be that 2-3 slot outside, do some things. Not a big name that they could go after. But when I wrote down receivers, man, I wrote like, I feel like they still got a plan for DPJ. You know, one of my boys is Van Jefferson. Even though he hasn't really done much, he's still young. He still has some things that he could happen. He's bounced around a little bit. Paris Campbell from that school we shall not speak of. But real quick, my take on interior linemen. Like, I feel like I'm going to give a similar thought as I did to the crazy money for Saint. Like, unless Brad Holmes and them are totally confident, I'm just not giving Jonah Jackson $15, $16, $18 million to play left guard. I'm not doing that. Unless they just do that and say he's a linchpin, we couldn't lose him, we had to pay him. But I'm going like cheap veteran, draft a guy in the 3rd to 5th round that can play one of these guard spots. I'm not giving Graham Glasgow the world just because he had a good year. He's a good dude. He's been a pretty productive player. But I'm setting a number for him and saying take it or leave it. I feel like you can get by with interior guards, especially when you have two tackles and a center that make a ton of money. So I'm spending my money at corner, at penetrating DT, defensive edge, which I didn't find many that I liked, so I don't have many on my list. Josh Uche is like an outside backer edge player that I've always liked. He's come on a little bit, but he's been up and down as well. Maybe give me my boy Troutman as a depth tight end, which Dan Campbell gave up the world for when he's in the Saints to get that kid, and he's, you know, just does marginally well with the Saints and Broncos. Gosh, there's so many intriguing players, but I have no clue what they're going to do. I feel like they'll probably just add guys that are good contracts, been productive, general positions of need, just so they can do like me and you do when we go into our RSO drafts. It's like you cover your butt so when the draft board falls and there's like a position you didn't think you needed, you can just take them because you're pretty much good everywhere else. I feel like that's Brad Holmes stole that from us. That's what we do. BPA, baby.
Yeah, that's been the philosophy for a while, as in our fantasy football fake GM leagues that we that were masterminds. But yeah, we are kind of masterminds. So
yes,
I'm gonna tell you this.
It's real.
This is a name that I'm surprised you didn't say because I feel like you love this dude. And Gabe Davis, the wide receiver from the Bills. I'm shocked you didn't bring him out. Can you imagine throwing that deep threat on the other side of J-Mo as a deep threat and just letting Amon-Ra eat in the middle with those two burners on the outside, was ready to go?
Yeah, I love Gabe Davis, but, I mean, so you got to take a lot of these guys out just because if the Lions go big fish, you know, it's going to be like one guy either on defense or – it's not going to be a big boy on the receiver when it comes to price tag or whatever. I can't see that happening. But that's why I don't mention some of these guys. I just mentally write them off. Just like your boy Chris Jones. Like, yes, it's fun to dream, but, I mean, I don't know. Like, that doesn't seem plausible, yet Christian Wilkins for 2 to 3 years seems so much more plausible and not a guy that's, like, all about the money like Chris Jones. But I know Chris Jones is a hell of a player. I get it.
I mean, the other funny thing, too, that you got to take into consideration, Oakley, $54 million in cap space this year. I think it's the 7th most in the league right now. So we got some money to play with, and I know he's got a couple moves that he can make to restructure some deals to wiggle room more if he needs to. Last name I'm going to throw out here, Okri, and I know I don't think you're big on this guy. I think I brought him up before, but Kenny Moore from the Colts had a great 2023 season. I like this guy a lot. 93 tackles. He's able to get to the quarterback. Actually had, I think, 2 sacks this year, 3 picks. He's another one that he's a nickel corner, and I like his game. So I think he has kind of that dog mentality that would fit our style as well with Aaron Glenn. So that's another one that I'm kind of keeping my eye on, but we'll see what happens.
No doubt about it. We could names and talk and give takes and thoughts, and I know the people love hearing that, but we've went a little bit longer here on the pod. It always just flies by, so we'll leave the people with that. I do think the Lions will be very strategic. You know, they'll be very intentional with everything they do, and we'll have to kind of parse our way through it and figure it out. But like you said, one big add, some nice depth adds, a great draft. I mean, I just can't imagine the team I saw last year and the way that we play football with like 5 or 6 more really good players, dare I even say starters at different spots, you know, at least 3 to 4 starters I would expect across the board, just plugging into this lineup that are going to be impact guys. So choppy chop, I think we've served up Kool-Aid, piping hot cornbread out of the oven. You got anything else for the people before we get up out of here?
It's good. Like I said, Oak, it's been a good week. Happy to be back. Such an exciting time. The combine is over. Free agency has started. Woo-hoo! The draft in Detroit in just a couple of weeks, people. Woo-wee! So you got some recordings, you got some live versions, and maybe I'll just leave it off with a woo!
Everybody, that's what we got. I think it's going to come out where we need to do a little bit of work on Choppy's mic, but we'll get that handled as best we can. We love serving up Kool-Aid. We love getting you guys excited about this football team. That's what we got for this week, and we'll catch you next week right here on the Detroit Kool-Aid Cast. Take care, everybody. We're out. Pack the bags, start the plane. This game is over. It is over. What a comeback by the Lions. Drink it in.